Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I have some good news to share. One of Family Talk's most loyal friends is aware that this ministry has struggled financially this year, and this generous donor has made a $200,000 matching grant to help carry us into the summer. This means that any gift, and I do mean a gift of any size, that we receive between now and May 31st up to the grant amount of $200,000 will be doubled. If you're able to make a contribution of any amount toward this matching grant, it will help keep us on target to continue the development of the James Dobson Family Institute. You know, I've been fighting for the family for more than 40 years now, and I'm not about to stop. You can make your donation securely online at drjamesdobson.org, or if you prefer, you can pledge your support by calling us at 877-732-6825. That number again is 877-732-6825. Thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry, and God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, and I'm delighted that you joined us today. This is going to be a very unusual broadcast. I've been at this for 42 years, and I don't think there's been a moment quite like this in all that time since 1977 when we first began. And I want to tell you how it happened. I met a man that I want to tell you about. It was what might be called a divine encounter. I don't know if you've ever had such a thing. It's when you know that the Lord has maneuvered you to accomplish His purpose. Let me tell you how it happened. I had a birthday not too long ago, and my daughter, Danae Dobson, got on a plane and flew to Colorado Springs to be here to help me celebrate my birthday. And my son and his daughter-in-law had to put the kids to bed, so they were not with us. So it was my daughter and my wife, Shirley, and myself. And we went to see a movie. The movie was called I Can Only Imagine. And I've heard great things about this movie, and I want to say before I tell you more about my story I hope you will go see this movie. It touched me deeply, and it did my wife and daughter, and I think it will be for you also, because it's a Christian movie, and it has a powerful message. Well, we arrived at the theater. And in this theater, you buy seats that are numbered, so you can't sit anywhere. But as it turned out, the theater was totally full, and the three of us wanted to sit together, and there were only three seats left in the theater. When I say it was a divine encounter, the Lord directed us, I believe, to those three seats because they were at the top of the stairs, right at the back of the theater, and we came in and we sat down, and the movie was just starting. And I had not sat there more than 5 minutes till I felt like the man sitting on the other side of my daughter was a very special man. I don't know how I knew that, but I did. And I wondered who he was and if he knew Jesus. And he was talking to somebody near him. He had a friend with him. And so we watched the movie together. Now, I don't want to give the plot of the movie away, but it's about a little boy who was terribly abused by his father. And he hated him, and there was animosity between them all through high school and on into adulthood. And this was just a point of great anger between them. And then the Lord began to work in this boy, now a man, in his life. And again, I don't want to give the story away, but they did reconcile. And in the end, there's a powerful emotional moment about this man and his father. That's right at the end of the movie. And when that occurred, the man sitting beside us stood. And I believe he was crying. It sounded like he was crying. And he put both hands in the air and he was praying. And I stood beside him. And my daughter, Danae, stood beside him. Shirley had gone to the restroom. She was just coming back. And we stood there together in that moment. The lights came on. I turned to this man and I said, "Sir, tell me what your name is." And he said, "Melvin Lee." And I said, "Did that movie touch you? Is that why you were emotional at the end?" And he said, "Yes, it's kind of a story of my life because I was also abused in that way." And we stood and talked. And after a few minutes, I said, "Can I tell you something about myself?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "My name is James Dobson." And I started to tell him about myself. And he nearly jumped in my lap and said, "I've heard you for many, many years." And it was there was just a bond that took place there. And then we went downstairs in the lobby. There were people all around. And we stood there and prayed. And Melvin prayed, and I'm telling you, this man knows how to pray because he does know the Lord. So I said, "Melvin, would you like to come to Family Talk and tell your story? Because you've got a lot to say. I want to know where you've been and what you've done, how you found the Lord, and why that movie touched you so deeply." And he said he would love to come, and he's here. He has come to be with us. Melvin, welcome to Family Talk.
Thank you, Mr. Dobson. It is truly an honor.
You remember that night?
Yes, I do.
When we met, would you call that a divine encounter? I mean, how did we get together? How was it that we sat side by side?
I tell you the truth. One of the friends, the guy who was with me, he was going through some relational issues, and he just sounded depressed. And so I wanted to get him out of his house, and I said, "Hey, let's just go to the movies." And I told him I wanted to go see I Can Only Imagine. And at the time, it was playing at 7:25. Mm. Well, I arrived a little bit early, so I bought his ticket. And lo and behold,
we come along and sit beside
you. Yes. I mean, it's a manifestation of Scripture. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by God."
Yeah.
And once we sat down and watched the movie, I love to worship God in prayer and song. And it doesn't matter the location. I worship God at Walmart, movie theater, parking lot, wherever. As we watched that movie, and I began to see the relationship between the son and the father, as you so described, it made me reflect on my own life. While I've had a terrible time or had a somewhat of a terrible relationship with my father, my biological dad, and I've always—
And your mother too, really.
Yes. Yeah. I was raised in a single parent home. I'm the baby of seven. And my father and mother separated when I was at the age of four. And so we struggled.
Was your dad an alcoholic?
My dad drank, and yes, I would say he was an alcoholic. He also smoked. And so the attributes that one son would look for in a father were just not there.
Your mother abused you as well, as I understand it.
Yes, sir. My mother, when you're raising seven children, a lot of times there's a lot of built-up emotion. There's a lot of blame. Me, I never was the type to play the blame game. My twin brother did. And to say the least, a lot of discipline I received was unwarranted. And I've always felt that it was to the extreme.
Were you beaten with a strap? How did that happen?
Well, I did receive a lot of whoopings with straps, switches, things that would make my skin
open. Were you angry?
I was angry, more so at the person who caused me to get that whooping, but I was hurt and thinking, how could I could be treated this way? I often, for quite some time, believed that I was adopted. I didn't believe that these were my biological parents. I couldn't comprehend at that age why my mother would treat me this way and why my father would neglect me that way. Mm-hmm. So I kind of grew up with a solitary childhood. I was not happy. There were times in my middle childhood that I had tried to commit suicide. And to say the least, God had a different plan for me.
Melvin, was that going on in your mind when you were watching the movie? Did you kind of relive the abuse of your early years and your unhappiness as a child?
I didn't relive the abuse part, but I did relive the, shall we say, the bond that was not there. I thought how the son and the father did not have a relationship, and I didn't have a relationship with my father. Even in the movie, when the father and mother separated, and the son tried to pursue his mom, but she didn't come back, I thought, wow, here's a son who was neglected by his mom but abused by his dad, and here I am as a son who's neglected by my mom and neglected by my dad. So there's a parallel there. There's a correlation there. And I could identify with the son in this movie.
Were you in tears?
I was.
I thought I could hear you crying.
I was.
And then when you stood up, I mean, there wasn't any doubt about it then.
My heart broke when he got his moment to share his testimony. And
was reconciled with his dad.
Yes. To me, that was the hope at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel. I now have a father-son relationship with my dad for almost the same reasons. My dad, whose health is declining.
He has kidney failure.
That's correct. This is after years of battling cancer and chemo. He had prostate cancer one time, and he's just been, overall, his health has been declining because of this kidney. And I'm retired military, so I've lived somewhat of a healthy and active lifestyle. As I spoke with the nephrologist who cares for my dad and his primary care provider through the hospital, I said, well, I'm his son, his biological son. I am O positive. And I'm going to be his donor.
And you're going to give him your kidney.
Yes, sir. When my
all
father...
All of the past is forgotten?
It's just that. It haven't been forgotten, but I don't hold it over his
you
head.
You have forgiven him.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to actually give him... You're going in for surgery and have him take a kidney and give it to him that he might have a little more life.
Indeed.
You told me that he may not live very long as it now stands.
That's correct.
Tell me about the reconciliation. How did it occur?
My mother went home to glory July 7, 1998. Since then, I have been trying to establish a relationship with my father. In the latter years, 2013, 14, 15, as I was planning my retirement in the military, one of my goals was to develop a stronger bond with my father. So I became more insistent. I've called more. I visited more. But I still felt that he was kind of distant. I believe he was dealing with emotions that he didn't know how to handle. All I knew was the more he pushed, the more I was going to pull. The more he walked away, the more I was going to pursue. I wanted a relationship with my father. My mother's no longer here, and I'm retiring from the military. And so I didn't feel like I would no longer be distant via my career, going from one assignment to the next. This was, to me, a prime opportunity to pursue a stronger relationship with my dad, and that's what I've done. So as of latter part of last year, he spoke to me for the first time out of all my life. I had a Thanksgiving with my dad for the first time. I'll be 46 this year. For the first time ever, I shared a Thanksgiving with my dad. And during that time, every day, I made him hug me. I didn't force him to say, you're going to hug me. But no, I will hug him. I've always told my dad that I loved him, but now, out of the opportunity that God presented for Thanksgiving, he sees that now. He calls me now. He confides in me. And when he shared with me about his kidney, it was almost as if my heart was pulled from my chest. All I could think was, what can I do to extend the time of my dad's life so that I can build a more quality father-son relationship?
That was the passion of your heart, wasn't it? To draw near to this man who had rejected you.
Yes, sir. And now, via the opportunity that God has presented, I am now drawing closer to my dad. I feel like he's a father.
Are you trying to win him to Christ?
Yes, sir.
Are you having any success?
Small victories, to me, equates to success. And yes, there have been times when he have called me and said, this is what I've done today, or this is what I have stopped doing. And to me, those were answers to prayer. They were small miracles that I have prayed for, that I'm continuing to pray for.
Is he coming your way?
Yes, he is. I believe the very fact that he calls me now more frequently than he have in the past is the manifestation of my prayers. I believe that my father now sees me as a loving son, as a blessing and not a burden.
Does he love you?
I know he does.
And did you ever reconcile with your mother?
Yes. When I joined the military, within the first year, we had that conversation about how I was raised and how I was treated. And my mother literally told me, I see now I have made some mistakes with you. She said, I see now that how sometimes I may have been hard on you, maybe it was undeserved.
And she ever asked you to forgive her?
She didn't have to. I said, Mom, you may have had previous children, but you never had twins. I said, I understand that now. I said, I thank you, because if I had had an easy childhood, I wouldn't be where I am today. It made me stronger. And consequently, I love you unconditionally. As you have told me all my life, there's nothing that I could do that will stop you from loving me. I now see that. And I just want to tell you, I love you, and all is good. And we cried on the phone. That moment, she became my sister more than my mother.
You found the Lord when? How long ago was that?
I gave my life 1 January 1998. I was in active duty Army. My sister, the eldest, 13 years older than I am, was in the Coast Guard. And she was E6, I was E4. And I had begun to read scriptures, and I came across Psalm 75:6, which says, promotion don't come from the east, nor from the south, nor from the west, but they come from God, who is able to lift one man up instead of another man down. And so I prayed to God, as I had met all the requirements, minus one, to become a leader, a non-commissioned officer in the active duty Army.
That's an E5, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I said, if you promote me, I'll be yours. I will be consistent going to church. I go to Sunday schools, Bible studies. I read the Bible. I would dedicate my life to you. And so my sister, who was in the Coast Guard, she was promoted to E7, 1 January 1998. I, who was in the Army, was promoted 1 January 1998 to E5. Who but God can promote two siblings and two diverse armed forces with the same date of rank? At that moment, when I acknowledged that, I dedicated my life, and I've been walking with him ever since.
And furthermore, you're in a kind of a missionary venture. You are with the Navigators?
Not yet. I'm not directly involved with the Navigators, but I do have a mentor whose name is David Brown. He's a retired 06 colonel from the Navy. And God so ordered our steps at church. As I began college, I'm a full-time student at Colorado Christian University, pursuing my bachelor's in psychology. One of my professors, who I established a relationship with, invited me to his church. At his church, I met my mentor, Mr. David Brown of the Navigators.
But as he reached out to you.
Yes, sir. As he came around the pew, he's in a wheelchair, he had an accident. As he came around the pew, as we was taking in communion, my heart went out to him. And so as he was coming towards me, rolling towards me, I asked him if I could hug him. He said, well, go right ahead. And so here it is, this Caucasian guy. He's about probably about 5'7", weighs about 140, 150.
You're a big man.
Yes, sir.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot even. I weigh 265. And so I said, I just want to hug you. And I hugged him, and I just, kind of like Jonathan David did in 1 Samuel, when they met, the Bible says that there was an instant bond, so much that they loved each other unto each other's souls. And ever since then, he and I have had a relationship. This May will be 1 year. He's a counselor for the Navigator organization. That's how I am involved. I've been to spiritual sessions that they have had. I've been to the facility, and they are a counseling, coach, training, and mentoring organization. And that's exactly what I want to do after I finish my master's in counseling.
So you're going from the BA right straight into graduate school?
Yes, sir.
To get a master's degree in counseling?
I'm planning on taking about a 90-day break, but right after that, yes.
You want to serve the Lord in that way?
Indeed so. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And I want to impute Jesus however, wherever, whenever.
How do you feel about yourself now? Going through abuse like that and rejection of parents does something to your self-esteem, to your self-worth, to your sense of personhood. Have you overcome that?
To be perfectly honest, that's the reason why I believe God has led me into the counseling and psychological realm. As I deployed 2 times to Iraq, I was diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And I've seen psychiatrists and I've been through the sessions. I now am working on myself with God. To say that I have overcame all the childhood trauma would not be the truth. I can say I am better than how I was, and now I'm more focused about being better and being an asset and a benefit to those who may have suffered as I have. In other words, I want to be a role model for Christ, an ambassador in every sense of the word.
Melvin, you said that you're going to give your kidney to your father sometime, probably in the next 60 days.
Yes, sir.
We would like to be kept informed of that. You've got our phone number here, and please let us know how things are going so we can know how to pray.
Will do. Thank you.
Well, Melvin, let me pray for you, will you?
Please.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this divine encounter. I thank you for bringing me and Shirley and Danae in the presence of this man and having a chance to find out who he is and of his love for you and even the things that he's gone through and the difficulties and the pain and the sorrow. I ask you that you would reward this man and bless him by the salvation of his father. Before that man goes to heaven, and before they are separated between now and eternity, I ask you to talk to him and use Melvin in his life to bring him to you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this radio program and the opportunity to tell this story and for this friendship that has come from it. In thy name we ask it. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this incredibly powerful broadcast here on Family Talk and have appreciated hearing Melvin Lee's testimony. Now, if you'd like to share this conversation with your friends or loved ones, simply go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org and click on any of the icons there to share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org, and then hit the broadcast page. As a reminder, as we wrap up this Monday edition of Family Talk, now through the end of the month, we have a generous matching grant in place. This match means that every dollar you graciously donate to our ministry will be doubled for greater impact. So if you are able to do so, go to drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. We'll be happy to tell you how you can make your donation to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear an exclusive conversation Dr. Dobson and Dr. Tim Clinton had on the future of this ministry. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. If you're hurting, you got troubles in your life, going through deep waters, we'd like to talk with you. You can call us toll-free right now, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. Or reach us from our website at drjamesdobson.org. We're here to help you.